It's Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time once again for your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. I should have some South Carolina basketball gear, but I don't, which I plan to get soon. Fellas, I will say this though, I would rather be me in this position as opposed to Bruno Mars, who owes Vegas $50 million. Whew.
Dummy. He gonna be doing a lot of shows for free.
Oh, he got to work. He really got to work. People are like, Eddie, you they'd be like, Eddie, do you do any sports betting? I'm like, see Bruno Mars. See Bruno Mars, but enough with my incoherent rambling. I have not only one but two of the best co-hosts in the world. Both of them coming in hot even before I hit record button. Introducing first the man at the Shed Studios down there in good old Fayetteville, North Carolina, the Almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to March Madness. We had the selection show on Sunday, and two of the sports bros are pretty happy with the situation that's going on. But there's one sports bro that's a little bit disappointed. And he's going to bring some vulgarities to the show. He's going to rant. He's going to rave. He's going to cry. He's going to cry in the car. But it, just I want to go ahead and give that disclaimer notice because, ooh, bring on the waterworks. Go ahead and introduce the other guy because I'm good. Eddie Cool, you good about the selection Sunday? You good?
I'm fine. Like I said, the guys and the girls made it cycling on the map. Holla at your boy. And he is the other guy. He is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania. He is, or was at one point, the assistant athletic director at the Trinity High School. He still is, but we ain't gonna tell it. You ain't gonna tell nobody else though. All right. And he's also the star of the Buzz television show at the Waynesburg University. All right, Scott, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Scott is a contributor to the Buzz TV show at the Waynesburg University. And you know he's going to be graduating pretty soon. Scotty Cum Laude. He is the one, the only, the money man, Scotty D. His shoulders deflated like, you doing this again? Go ahead,
Nah,
Scott.
nah, 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 nah. Okay. Yeah, I am a little angry. Yeah, of course. Because why wouldn't you be? Going into the ACC tournament, the team that was slotted one above Pitt, who Pitt beat on their floor, and the team that was slotted two below Pitt, both get into the tournament and Pitt gets overlooked. It's just a long-standing tradition of the NCAA's selection committee disrespecting Pitt basketball as they've done before. Last year they stuck him at Dayton. They had done enough to get in the tournament. They put him in Dayton, made him do the opening round game, and they won two games last year. This year the team is better. They've come down the stretch at 12-4. They beat Duke on the road, Virginia on the road, NC State on the road, beat that team twice, and they're not good enough to be in the field, and the other teams are. Clemson and Virginia didn't even win an ACC tournament game. They're in the field, and Pitt is not. You're going to tell me that Pitt is not one of the best 68 teams in the country and they aren't deserving? Wrong. Wrong. But what are you going to do? And it's to the point that the Pitt as a athletic department decided they're not even going to the NIT. They said we're not even going to show up for that. If you don't think we're good enough to play, we ain't playing anymore. Actually, I got to tell you, not I get it, but I kind of don't really like that decision. There's a new trend of teams that are mad skipping the NIT. I think St. John's is doing it, Oklahoma's doing it, now Pitt's doing it. I'm not a big fan of that. I still think if you sign in to play college basketball, let's go do it. Let's go play. Maybe it'll help get you another game under your belt for next year. But yeah, every year somebody has a case to make. Every year somebody is mad that they didn't get into the field because they feel like they deserve it. And there's probably Pitt and a couple others that can rightfully make a case. It's my turn to be mad. I'm going to be mad. I mean, it's all there is to it.
Well, just think of it this way, Scotty D. Just remember last year where Pitt barely made it in. They were in the play-in round of 68, and Clemson was the first team out. So we had an argument last year. We just flip-flopped this year. I mean, I don't know. We're not first team out. We're sixth seed, number 22 in the country, according to the bracketology. You know what? I ain't even gonna do it to you. Yes, I am, because that's the way we are. Hey, cool. Can we just roll into it? Can we just get into all of the madness and how we feel and who got in, left out, and who we think is going to take it all and who's the biggest surprise and all the things?
Let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order.
All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
As Scotty D alluded to, some teams got in, some teams didn't make it. There's some injustice going on with the NCAA selection committee. Man, we know how it is, man. It goes through this mess every year. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong, and sometimes you go, what the hell happened? So should we go ahead and start into the final? Should we go ahead and dive into our final four picks or recap what we saw? Matter of fact, let's recap what we saw this weekend in the conference tournaments. Purdue losing?
Not a surprise.
I'm not surprised. Like, why is it? What is the ick with Purdue? You play some stellar basketball all season. You may lose once, maybe twice. You got Zach Edey, the best player in the country, and you just can't seem to get over that hump. What in the hell is all that about? I don't understand. What say you guys?
I'm gonna go ahead and answer that question for you, because you saw it across the board. It wasn't just Purdue, but conference tournaments, conference championships, not necessarily the most important thing when it comes to your major conference. These teams, Purdue pretty much knew they were still gonna be a number one seed in the bracket. Houston knew they were gonna be a number one seed. North Carolina's, they were a little because it could have been Tennessee, it could have been North Carolina, but at the end of the day, some teams just wanted it more. And I can tell you offhand, North Carolina State, they just wanted it. If you didn't get a chance to see them play in the ACC tournament, and I'm not just talking about the NC State North Carolina game, I'm talking about the three games prior to that. Like, the only one I missed was the first one, but they won five games in 5 days to win the tournament. They had no other chance of making the big dance outside of what they just did. They just got on the court and they said they wanted it more than anybody else in the ACC, and they handled business.
Sometimes, thanks, Wolfpack. Thanks.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying, Scotty D. If you're gonna be mad at somebody, it's NC State, because NC State doesn't win it and steal that automatic qualifier bid, Pitt's probably in. They most likely are in if NC State doesn't win it all. That is what they call a bubble burster. Mm-hmm. The bubble burst. Because yeah, Pitt did what they were supposed to do to beat Wake. They beat Wake Forest and got far enough in the tournament. I thought they were going to be in, but NC State said, see what happened was we wanted more. But yeah, when it comes to like Purdue, I understand you feel like Purdue is the best team in the country. They show it from time to time. Zach Edey could easily be the National Player of the Year again. Dude is just ridiculous with it. But yet, they just don't finish. And then what was it? They lost in the first round last year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's not a precursor. I don't think they're gonna repeat that. Because I mean, Virginia did the same thing a few years back. Said, you know what? Let's get our lives together and go win it all. That's what they did. Do I have Purdue winning it all? But it's. I don't see them losing in the first round again. I'm gonna give them just a little bit more credit.
No, they're gonna smarten up, because last year in the first round, that you talk about how good Edey is, but he's not a point guard. He doesn't take the ball in and dribble it down and then run the offense himself. He didn't get the ball like the last seven. There was like a 7-8 minute stretch down the stretch where the dude was not getting the ball, where his team was just settling for three-point jumpers, which is, as you know, something I'm a huge fan of doing. And just keep jacking it up. Just keep shooting. Yeah, you have an advantage with a guy who's 7'11", and you're not even getting him the ball. Or whatever is he, 8'2", 9'3", whatever he is. He's the biggest guy on the planet, and they didn't get him the ball.
13'5", about 13'5".
He's 13'5". Okay, there you go. There's his official height. Yeah, they didn't get him the ball. And so I would hope that that's a mistake you wouldn't repeat again. But the team is more talented than just Edie. I mean, it's a really good basketball team. But I think when things go awry, when your shots aren't falling or you get a little out of sync, you got to call a timeout and say, all right, we're going to start it by getting it to the big man and working from the inside out. If he doesn't get a shot, you get open or you cut to the back, whatever. I'm not a basketball strategist. I'm just saying it appeared to the naked eye that the biggest guy not getting the ball in the tournament last year greatly affected the reason why his team did not move on.
And how about the play of speed of NC State? How about the play of DJ Burns Jr. looking like a straight up old school throwback bully ball, blasting defenders out the paint and taking it to the rack? And I'm like, oh my God, this style of basketball still exists.
I thoroughly enjoyed that, by the way. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
He was, what was beautiful was the fact that not only did he outmuscle arguably one of the best big men in the country in Armando Bacot.
Mm-hmm.
But even when North Carolina tried to double team him because one-on-one, he couldn't be stopped. Mm-mm. And then they tried to double team him. He has the court vision. Gotcha. I see my players. They had no answer for him. Mm-hmm. And that is dangerous. NC State, I'm watching y'all. Easily one of the hottest teams in the country. We shall see. Oh, man, oh, man. I filled out my brackets before we got on the show. I don't know. I don't think y'all did, but my bracket is ready.
Oh, and speaking of brackets, be live, let's make an announcement, all right, to our listeners of the Sports Bros Podcast. Every year, we do the Bracket Challenge. And so, our listeners, we got an added incentive for you, all right? If you, the listeners, win, if one of you wins, guess what? You get to hang out with us for one full episode. You get to be the fourth member of the Sports Bros Podcast for one episode only. One episode.
I must have missed that board meeting. I must have missed out.
It's in the group chat, Scotty D. Like, what you?
Yeah, I don't care if you missed it or not. two out of three voted yay for it, so it didn't matter
I never heard anything. I mean, I'm the leader of the band, so
you're absolutely not. You've been outvoted. You're the weakest link. Goodbye.
But yes, Scotty D, and to those of you that haven't heard it, if you the listener wins the bracket challenge, you get a chance to co-host one episode with us.
Is that really an incentive? Is that an incentive? You wanna sit and talk with us?
Yes, why not?
Oh, okay.
Why not? They get to sit in and watch you two kill the hell out of each other, me try to Amtrak the show, and then us just having fun. Like, who would not want a part of this here podcast? Yes, I'm on the camera. You see what I'm saying? It's action packed. It's a whole lot going on. Yeah.
I can tell you right now, I don't share that well. Like, we've had a couple people on the show every now and again, and it's been aight. But this right here, this challenge that we're putting out there to you, the listener, I'm not taking it lightly. My bracket is going to win. I win at everything that I do. Even when I don't, I win. So if you think you could outbeat me, if you think your bracket is going to be better than mine, you're sorely mistaken. And the only way you're going to find out is if you put in a bracket. But I just want to go ahead and prepare you for disappointment. Because there's three of us on the show. There will always be three of us on the show. And once we kick Sky D off, we're going to bring Hunter back in.
Oh,
no, be good to go. We're going to upgrade. We're going to get the younger version. And we're going to keep it.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you win it. You win it everything.
All right, fellas. With that being said,
maybe nobody can beat you at pint drinking down at the local corner pub. But
oh boy, here we go. Let me go ahead and Amtrak this thing right now because I see exactly where it's going. Final four team, Scotty D. Who you got?
All right, I have to admit, you know, usually I sit and one of my favorite days of the year is Selection Sunday. I sit and I watch the reveal and I listen to Lenardi and Billis and Wally Serbiak and all these guys, and I gather their information. And I say, all right, here's what I think based on what they're saying. I watched none of that this year. I just actually kind of just picked just for the sake of picking, just like you would normally do if you never watch basketball. So this is going to be honestly, being a student yesterday or Sunday afternoon, I was covering baseball games this weekend, and I was working on a paper for another class. I just didn't get to put the time into it as I'd like to. And this is about as uneducated, unorthodox as I've ever picked a bracket, because I went against what I usually do, and that's like picking all favorites. Having said that, I don't think Jay Billis picked the Final Four last year. Do you? Was it San Diego State, Florida?
Nope.
Internet?
Nobody all, picked.
No.
Nobody picked that.
So being completely educated doesn't necessarily mean you have a good shot at the final. Having said, all right, here's who I got. I went North Carolina and UConn on one side, Florida and Tennessee, who I do not trust at all because of their coach, and I somehow have Tennessee in the finals, losing to UConn as our champion. I know it's really difficult to win one of these, let alone to repeat. I think UConn has it in them to repeat. I think they got the experience and the coaching, and they're playing well at the right time. I'm going UConn over Tennessee in the finals, Carolina and Florida.
B-Live,
what do you got?
You got?
Well, interesting. He said that he's going back to back with UConn, saying that UConn's going to beat North Carolina. Well, honestly, I say not so fast, my friend. My Final Four consists on one side. I do have the Tar Heels making it in as well. That is one team that we do agree on. I have North Carolina facing Auburn. Auburn has played lights out at times. They played especially great against the South Carolina game.
I knew he was going to go there, your black ass man. Go ahead. I just knew it.
They won the SEC by almost 20 points against Florida. I think Auburn has the hot hand. I think they could play with anybody. Have Auburn winning their region. On the other side, I'm going to believe in these dudes. I think that Houston is going to come out of their region. It just, the way they handled business earlier, it's going to be crazy, because the team that I have them facing in the Final Four is the team that they beat by 30 points earlier in the season. I have Houston versus Kansas.
Ooh.
I think Kansas rights the ship after that game, and they come through roughshod. That was a wake-up call. I think that that region has, I mean, a lot of teams have come out of that region. But I think Kansas, out of all of them, Creighton has a possibility. Tennessee also has a possibility. I just feel like Kansas has that chip on their shoulder, and they could muster it through. I have North Carolina beating Auburn. I have Houston beating Kansas, and I have North Carolina winning it all. I think North Carolina's pedigree, when they win the champion, when they win titles, is exactly how this team is designed. They transition offense and defense. Big man handling business down below. RJ Davis, he's playing the best I've seen any. And since North Carolina won their last title, I think North Carolina has that pedigree. They can play with anybody. They just
North Carolina can shoot too. They can shoot. They got a lot of 3-point shooting.
Yeah. So that leaves me, all right? Out of the East, I got UConn because UConn, they're on fire. Auburn might give them a little bit of trouble, but I think it'll be Auburn, as you said, be like, because whew, that Bruce Pearl coach team, boy, that thing they put on us, God, dog. Yeah, it's just Auburn's a good team, just hands down. Auburn's just a good damn team. Like, you know, you can't doubt that. North Carolina with that 3-point shooting, Armando Bacot, the big man doing his thing. So let's see. Coming out of the East, we got UConn. Coming out the West, North Carolina, these regions. Anyways,
North Carolina was the number four. Like, they're the lowest ranked number one seed. So they try to put the number one seeds in the closest regions.
Yeah.
And so North Carolina, by default, because they didn't have any good teams in the West, guess what? Get shipped out.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to watch it like 1:30 in the morning. All right. And then we got, coming out the South, we got H-Town. Houston. Duke is going to give them some trouble. And then in the Midwest, Duke's going to give Houston some trouble. Houston, though, Kevin Sampson will get the guys right together and they'll make it happen. And out of the Midwest, I just don't trust Purdue none whatsoever. I just can't. I might get some heat for this, but Purdue is looking like the brand new Gonzaga. Getting so close, so good, and then you peter out every time. So with that being said, if I'm looking at these brackets here, I'm going to go with you, B-Live, Kansas. Because Kansas might have a point to prove, and we're going to have the rematch of Houston versus Kansas. And then we got UNC and UConn, and then I got UConn and Houston in the national championship game with UConn winning it all. Part of me wants to say Houston wants to win it, but that damn experience of UConn and boys up in Storrs, Connecticut, nah, you cannot count them out. Cannot count them out.
Two for UConn and me being right with going with North Carolina.
Here you go, to being right. I thought Scotty D was the one supposed to be right all the time. Well, what is it?
I just don't talk about it all the time like the other guy does.
Oh, now you're the other guy.
Yeah. I'm the silent assassin.
Hey, there's nothing silent about you ever. Ever. Thought I talked a lot.
No. You thought right.
God, Donnelly and the sports. That's the first part where we went wrong right there, where he's the leader. you the leader? Okay, all right.
I made a song with
AJ Case
called
On the Air.
I made a song with AJ Case called Ringleader, so I got a song that's actually on wax. Anyways, move right along from college hoops to the National Football League. Free agent frenzy. If your head is spinning, don't feel bad because ours was spinning too, because we couldn't believe half of what the hell we saw was going on. So, fellas, the wow moment from free agency. Be Live, what made you go, wow, or damn, or ooh?
Well, where do we begin? But I think the biggest moment that I was like is the one that we're not really talking about. The Kansas City Chiefs just won the Super Bowl without a star wide receiver. And then they quietly picked up Hollywood Brown.
I saw that.
And it's little chatter, but this should be a lot more chatter. Everybody want to talk about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I still think that's a recipe for a disaster, even though Russell Wilson already high. Russell Wilson, get off of social media. Stop it. You're doing too much.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
You seen that goofy-ass picture?
God.
Actually, he says Steeler Nation, here we go.
Here we go.
Like,
he didn't say he stole that from Dak Prescott. Here we go. Like, what are we doing here? But not, like, I don't understand what's going on in Pittsburgh. Everybody else is so hype and so crazy about it. I'm going to be like, so Russell Wilson's going to start. both of the quarterbacks on 1 year deals or on the final end of their deals, et cetera, et cetera. What is so we're just gonna, you know what? Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs is my story. Like, that was the one, like, the rich get richer. And then 1B would be Saquon Barkley staying in division and going to the Eagles. Again, where the rich get richer. Like, good Lord, that backfield, that's going to be, whew, that's a weapon on top of weapon. They definitely upgraded. DeAndre Swift did his thing, but Saquon Barkley, healthy behind that offensive line of Philly, even though Jason Kelce retired, I still think they're still one of the elite units. But I somebody's got to stop that light-skinned assassin and Patrick Mahomes. Somebody got to do great. Dang,
man.
Guys good. And they, yes.
Oh, yep. Who you guys got it, D? Oh, my bad, B-Live, you.
Also, sir, and then you got my Panthers. We got some old line help. We
got a good offensive lineman. I like that.
Receiver.
Yeah, we got Deontay.
Got a receiver.
I'm not too thrilled about that, but all right.
We'll see, man. Maybe he
1,000-yard receiver when Big Ben was there. 1,000-yard receiver before Matt Canada ruined that Steeler offense.
Oh my God, hit the devil. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, all these free agents flying off the board on Monday, and the Dallas Cowboys signed a long snapper, and I thought, okay, Jerry Jones, okay, I see what you're doing there. I like it. Quietly gathering talent. Okay, Jera. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the definition of all in? We're going off. What?
See, I think that was misquoted. I think he said all out, and it gets scratched out and put in, because all out was half the defense, Michael Gallup, Tony Pollard. They're all out now. They're all out. And
but Tyron Smith?
Out. He's a Jet.
God,
he's a Jet all the way.
He did the exact opposite.
Yeah, the all-in quote has not aged well for Jerry Jones, because when you say all-in, you think, oh, man, he might actually really want to try to sign some guys. And what he's all he's doing, this is what doesn't make sense to me. If he did want to acquire some more talent, why did he not restructure or extend Dak Prescott earlier? Because you got to believe that's coming, right? I mean, you got to think he's not just going to take a $59 million cap hit this year and let Dak play into free agency the following year. I mean, that I got to believe any day now we're going to hear that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have reached an extension. But they didn't even talk about that prior to the free agency period, which just goes to show you how uninterested in free agency Jerry Jones is. And I get it, because what happens is on that opening Monday, it happened last Monday, it's just a feeding frenzy, and teams will overpay for talent. And then the guys that don't get signed who are good, their prices will start to come down as they need to get onto some rosters. I wasn't altogether surprised that the Cowboys did nothing. The wow stuff really all came from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Wow, they signed Russell Wilson. Wow, they traded Kenny Pickett. Like,
yeah. I
didn't see that one coming. And then, wow, the next day, Justin Fields. So they completely revamped the quarterback room. Mason Rudolph is gone. Mason Rudolph was the guy that was starting for the Steelers in the playoffs. He's gone. Kenny Pickett is gone. And so now it's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And a lot of Steeler fans in the area are excited about it. I think he got two guys that are terrible at the position. Justin Fields maybe had he also had the different situations with the offensive coordinator shakeup. Kenny Pickett was upset. And this is I think he was in the wrong in this situation also, because he wasn't playing that well under Matt Canada. Canada gets fired. The next week, Pickett plays better, and then the following week gets hurt, and he doesn't get his job back. Well, at that point, the Steelers were playing well with Rudolph. You got to ride out the hot hand and give Pickett the job back next year. Well, when they get Russell Wilson, they had an opportunity for next to nothing to get a guy that improves the team. They took that opportunity. Instead of being like, okay, let's work on this. When my opportunity comes, I'll get it. Pickett was like offended. It was like he was upset by that. Well, you sit and wait your turn. You might be the guy again next year or this year. I mean, a 36-year-old quarterback getting hurt is not out of the question. Pickett could have been right back on the field by opening day. Russell Wilson could pop a quad in training camp. You never know. So I thought that was a little strange that he was so far in that. But maybe one of the biggest stories that's not looking at as quite a big story because it's not actually a free agency, but also affecting kind of with a Pittsburgh tie, is Aaron Donald retiring. I mean, this guy is one of the best defensive players, if not the best defensive player of the last 20 years, one of the greatest of all times. And I think he's 33 years old. Isn't that what he was? Mm-hmm. The announcement of his retirement. And, you know, a couple years ago, I heard him threaten to retire. And I thought, well, that's just negotiation stuff. But it must have been on his mind that, hey, I've had a good career. I've done enough. I got a ring. I got the accolades. And I'm going to walk out of here a healthy man. So I was a little surprised by that. But Aaron Donald, that kind of made me say, wow, Aaron Donald, the era is already over. One of the true greats of the NFL. Eddie Cool, did you have something that made you go, wow, last week?
Aaron Donald was one. And I would say the whole situation, Aaron Donald was one because I didn't see it coming because it seemed like it, as it was just getting started, it just kind of just ended. But, I think three-time defensive player of the year. He won a Super Bowl, one of the best his positions all time. So it was like, what else is there left to prove? My biggest surprise was this whole Kenny Pickett being traded from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, but this whole Justin Fields situation with him leaving Chicago, getting traded to the Steelers from Chicago. And I was like, how is this going to work out? And what was the schematics of it all? Because as we know, the talk was him going home to Atlanta and being Michael Vick 2.0 and this, that, the third. And then Atlanta said, yeah, that does look good on paper, but we want a guy that actually has some season experience playing quarterback. And what do? They get Mr. You Like That. You Like That himself, Kirk Cousins, who's only had one playoff win. He's good during the regular season, but he has one playoff win. Because what do you sound like a deal for, like, what, five, was it 5 years, 100 million, 3 years, 100 million?
Four. You talking about his current deal?
With the Falcons.
Yeah, 4 years, 180.
I'll say it once and I'll say it again. We need to find out who this man's agent is so we can get him to get us some of that money too. Because I'm telling you, man, if one thing for certain, Kirk Cousins stays paid. He's been franchise tagged twice, got a guaranteed deal in Minnesota, and now here in Atlanta getting a bunch of damn money. You know what? I'm really not mad at that whole move about Kirk Cousins leaving Minnesota and going to Atlanta. Beeline, the thing about it is we got to see them twice a year, and Atlanta might be good because Atlanta finished 11th in total defense last year, and now they got a quarterback, and he might be decent. So,
ever seen a quarterback or a player really maximize the value of that position monetarily like Kirk Cousins? This dude has been in the right place at the right time his whole career. He got drafted with RG3 ahead of him, who got hurt, and he moved in, and he cashed that into the first ever fully guaranteed contract in Minnesota. Like you said, Eddie, stays paid. And now here is a team that in desperate times for quarterback play, here I am. I'll cash in one more time. It's unbelievable that this guy has been able to – the dollars he's been able to maximize from that position with the leverage that he's been able to sustain year in and year out. Man. Standing ovation for Kirk Cousins and his one playoff win.
I ain't lying to you, man. He is the – people give him a lot of flat, but dude's consistent. I can say that about him. He's consistent, and when he plays, he plays. So that's that. So the Kirk Cousins move kind of sort of surprised, not really, but the whole thing was the whole Justin Fields going to the Steelers of all places. And speaking of places, fellas, looking at my watch, guess what time it is.
Before you sneak in, I just want an honorable mention.
What's up?
Derrick Henry to the Ravens. Like, the.
See, I didn't think that was necessary. The Ravens already could run the ball.
Yeah, the thing about it is, though, Lamar Jackson was their leading rusher. So.
Yeah. And he will be next year, too.
Yeah. Now they can really, really run the ball. It's time for the choices of the voices. And with that being said, hey, old button, hit it. Choices of the voices coming at you right here on your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. Right after this.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the choices of the voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful land.
Ever so lovely.
Miss Button for introducing our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. We ask y'all the questions, you give us the answer, and then we read it right here on the podcast. See, I'm reading them from the phone this time. See, there's a bunch of them. See, that's Matty Ice with an essay, and I don't know who this is right here. They got another essay, too. I don't mind them. Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's choices of the voices?
A really good question. And that question is to share one of your favorite March Madness memories. What are your favorite moments, games, players, coaches, etc.? Let's see what the people said, Eddie. Cool. Favorite March Madness memories. That's alliteration, by the way.
Scotty D, we got to get you some unleaded gas to kind of get the engine going in the morning sometimes. Yes. I'd say it'd be like that sometimes, all right? Matty Ice, Martin Tracy, he says, number one, in 1987, my high school coach opened up the school gym, set up a large TV screen, and invited anyone to come watch Indiana versus Syracuse. And because I hate all things New York, I thoroughly enjoyed watching Keith Smart's game-winning shot with seconds to go. Number two, a memory you might remember, as well, when Chris Webber called timeout, sealing the win for Duke. So he gives us two. Yep, that's what it was. Timeout. And he didn't have any timeouts left. He's like, what are you doing? No, it was a moment of living infamy. And coaches play to this day. Pay attention and don't do that.
Good friend of mine listening to the show, Tristan. He's a diehard Michigan fan, and so that C-Web timeout will forever live in his heart as well. So, but that's not, I guarantee that's not going to be one of his favorites. But Matty,
I liked the Fab Five. I did not like that either. I was very, very firmly behind Michigan that year and the year before when they played Duke. I was rooting for those five freshmen, and the next year, that was it for Chris Webber. He walked off the court for the last time after that timeout, just as Juwan Howard may have done recently.
Yep.
Yeah, he got shown the door, all right, huh?
Eight and 24 will get you out of the door.
Wow.
A program like Michigan, you cannot do that. That program has fallen off the rails, and Juwan Howard has not look good in the eyesight of many. Whenever your own players have to hold you back it's bad. It's bad. But Matty Ice with a couple of bangers with that. Absolutely.
Yeah, usually supposed to be the other way around. Speaking of Tristan Vitarelli, he says, might get put in the penalty box with this one. Go ahead and open up the door and be live.
No. I'll hear him out.
Okay. But it happened in March when Michigan's plane crashed while landing for the Big Ten tournament. They had to wear their practice jerseys and won the Big Ten tournament for the first time. If my memory is correct, they were the lowest seed ever to win the Big Ten championship. He says, well, the second time, but 1998 win was taken away. Go Blue. Sanctions and stuff? Yeah, they probably got in trouble then.
The reason why he thought he was going to be put in the penalty box is because he thought that when we said March Madness, it's exclusive to the tournament. I still believe that March Madness is all of it. Mm-hmm. Conference, all the things, even like the late, the rivalry games, your second go-round North Carolina Duke, your and stuff like that. I think all of that's included in March Madness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's subject for interpretation. And so, even though Scotty D let him off the hook and then put him into the penalty box, I will agree with Scotty D and not place him in the penalty box. But Scotty D, you do not have exclusive rights to not put anybody in the penalty box.
So some of us can go and invite people on the show without consulting with others and then others.
No. Okay. There's three people on the show. If two people say that we're going to do something, guess what? majority rules.
Just really? See, I don't remember. I don't remember that rule being implemented either. I don't remember
that's
that.
Rule of
that
life.
It wasn't a unit. That it wasn't like a unanimous.
And I left a voice message on the way to work while driving. When the idea hit me, I said, you know what? Hey, guys, how about you feel about this idea? If the winner of the Bracket Madness tournament, one of our listeners, to get a chance to be on the Sports Wars podcast, what do you think about that?
And yeah, my secretary must have been off that day.
Oh, he got a secretary.
I didn't get that
one. Ooh, let me go call Kurt. Like I said, I need to call Kurt Cousins' agent real quick and get this money so we can start paying people. The interns, they ain't come back from spring break yet. They might be down there in Miami. all right, the best name in the game, JoJo Comfort. He says Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, and the rest of the UNLV squad trampling Duke by 30 in the final, and Duke absolutely got mauled. Yeah.
That was excellent.
Yeah, that UNLV team was a special team, man. Those guys were like Stephen. They say they're special. They were special. They were very, very special. All right. Tony Bogan, TB, what's up, man? One of the hardest working men up here in high school sports media up in Northeast Ohio. He said last year when so many upsets were pulled off from the likes of Fairleigh Dickinson, Princeton, Furman, Florida Atlantic, and etc. Another one is Villanova winning the tournament. Villanova winning the tournament in 2016 on a walk-off three-pointer.
Chris James.
Yeah, and if you want to skip down to Brad Thomas, that's his least favorite.
Yep.
Marcus Page and Chris Jenkins. So that moment, the Villanova over North Carolina moment, getting a little attention here.
Yep, and that's what Marcus Page said. My least favorite was that. And then Chris Jenkins, he said the hell with both of them. All right. Mark Olsey says the Big East tournament, Syracuse versus UConn, 6 overtimes and Syracuse for the win. Then Scott Nolley said, I remember that game. Kept me at overtime late. I believe they went into overtime the next day as well, too. Like, what, 3 o'clock in the morning? Like,
it was late. It wasn't quite that late, but it was definitely late. And I can remember there being players on the team that don't even usually play that were in the game just because they were running out of bodies between the fouls and the exhaustion. And then I can't remember who Syracuse played the next day, but I'm almost certain that they had another overtime game. It was just a single regular overtime, but yeah, that night was crazy. That game just wouldn't end. I was like, come on, I'm ready to go home.
This is the and game that doesn't end again.
And it was one of those situations. I'm a manager at Overtime Sports Cafe in North Myrtle Beach, and there was like hardly anybody left in the building but one little group gathered around one TV. And you can't make them leave. They come in to watch that game, and they've had some beers and some food. And it's actually a very significant memory because I can remember that happened. It was a cool night. You can't just say, yeah, we're not going to stick around and let you watch the end of this game. That's how you get bad reviews on Yelp.
Right. Scott, this is 2009.
Okay.
Was
is that what it was? Okay.
Yep.
Scotty D trying to count the drawer, trying to do server checkouts,
yeah.
Make sure everything is good, input the information for the report the next day. But no, Syracuse.
Getting the stink eye from the bartender and the server because they're ready to go home too.
Yeah, and you're looking at them like, look, y'all go ahead and make a little bit of money, man. Go ahead and make a little bit of money because you know how it is on this beach, all right? All right, so we got Ryan Rubleski. He says, my favorite was when Chris Webber called a timeout F Michigan. Yeah.
All right. Two for that one.
Yep. Eric Tarpley, he says, it's not a player but a team. Fi, slam a jammer. The 82-84 Houston Cougars. They were entertaining to watch, featuring Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. Great team. All right. Then Clay Hufstetler, he said, and then North Carolina State beating them in the 83. And then Eric said in reply, I'll never forget that. I was hoping they would have won that year, but North Carolina had other plans. Still a talented team in my eyes. And from the looks of that, that is everybody. And shout out to everybody for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. March Madness, we love it. Be live. Fondest memory, what you got?
I got a question.
What's up, man?
Because I didn't even think about it this way. Did Houston lose to North Carolina in 82 and then lose to NC State in 83?
I'm drawing a blank.
Or was that the year prior?
No, I don't. Maybe they did lose back to back finals. Yeah, I think they did.
It could have been. Speaking of that team, the Houston Cougars. Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Hakeem Olajuwon stayed in Houston and only won a championship when Jordan retired. Like, Jordan's been a thorn in his side, if I remember correctly, for quite a long time.
Yeah.
But yes, March Madness. Here's the unfortunate sea of my beloved Clemson Tigers. When it comes to basketball, there's not too many fond memories, but I'm going to be a Clemson fan through and through. But, man, do you remember in 2006, George Mason?
Ooh, yeah.
Good Lord. That the Cinderella of all Cinderellas. You didn't expect these guys to do what they did and went on a run and went all the way to the Final Four. George Mason. And I believe they paved the way for all of the other Cinderella teams, your Florida Atlantics, even, like I said, your Butlers, your VCUs, your Loyola Chicago's of the world. George Mason and that team and that squad that year. And then I'm going to throw in an honorable mention of, Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, Lob City.
God, that was exciting to watch. Oh, my goodness. That's the kind of stuff that makes March Madness what it is and destroys brackets. But who's going to destroy brackets this year? Oh, man, we shall see. It's madness, baby. Yes, sir.
Scotty D, who you got?
Okay. Well, actually, when we were just talking about, wasn't 82 the year that Jordan hit the jumper against Georgetown? Wasn't that the final that year?
That's what it was.
That's Georgetown, what it was. Yeah.
My bad.
Was that? I think that was 82.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was 82. It was Georgetown, not Houston. That was my fault.
All right. So this is one. Actually, I think we started on March Madness when we started this podcast 5 years ago, and we talked about a similar topic. So this is one I mentioned before, but it's been a while. But I'll never forget the 1990 March Madness tournament. When Loyola Marymount went on that run, their best player, Hank Gathers, had died on the court in the conference tournament the week or 2 weeks prior to the – must have been the week prior to the tournament, and they decided to play on. Hank Gathers dunked the ball and then collapsed at midcourt and never recovered. He basically died right there on the court. His best friend was Bo Kimble. These guys had come to Loyola Marymount from the Philly area, and one of the things that was a trademark of Gathers was not being a great free throw shooter and attempting to shoot free throws with his left hand. Well, when they got into the conference or into the big dance, Loyola Marymount, I think they were like an 11 seed. They were a little bit lower rated, but they played New Mexico in the first round. And Bo Kimble picked up his fourth foul early in that game and didn't get taken out, and he never fouled out. But I'll never forget the first time he went to the free throw line, and I get goosebumps even just talking about it. He shot left-handed to honor Hank Gathers, his best friend who had passed, and he made it. And he did that in the first game all the way through the tournament. And they made a run to the Elite Eight before falling to UNLV, but he did that on his first free throw of every game and made it every time. And, man, what an incredible run that was and how emotional that was, especially for them to have – for Kimball to have picked up that foul and the coach just trusted, I'm not gonna take you, I'm going to let you play through this. And he didn't foul out of the game. What a run that was for Loyola Marymount. They beat, I believe, Michigan. It was their second round, who was the defending national champions. They had won it in 89. And then I think it was Oklahoma. They beat another team. I can't remember who the third team was, but they won three games before losing to UNLV in an absolute shootout. They just were outmanned by that team that we were talking about a few minutes ago with Larry Johnson and Stacey Augman, that whole dominant squad. But I'll just never forget how I felt when I was sitting there watching Bo Kimble, how I was nervous that he was doing this, shooting with the left hand, and then he made it, and you just get tears in your eyes because it was such an emotional, insanely cool moment. So I'll never forget Loyola Marymount of 1990. That was an excellent, excellent run. And that, I believe, what do you got, Eddie Cole? That's all I got.
Speaking of runs, there's a reason why I wore this jersey. I want to talk about the 2016-2017 South Carolina men's basketball team. They were projected to have an average season. We got Frank Martin in his fifth year as head coach, and I think they got invited. They went to the NIT the year before, and the year after that, they won a Brooklyn Hoops Holiday Invitational Championship. All right, cool, big deal. Then they get into the had a pretty solid non-conference schedule, pretty much beat everybody they put in front of them, which included a win over number 25 Michigan State and number 18 Syracuse. And then they get into conference play where it got a little tough, but then they beat number 19 Florida, number 5 Kentucky. And then they went on a slide the last portion of the season, losing to Arkansas, Vanderbilt. Florida got to get back, but they beat Tennessee, Mississippi State, and then lost to Ole Miss. And then the first round of the SEC tournament, they lost to number 5 Alabama. And boy, after that, they went on a magical run. In the first round, they beat Marquette. The second round, they beat Duke. Sweet 16, they beat Baylor, and then they got their get back on Florida in the Elite Eight, only to lose to Gonzaga in the Final Four. That was a magical, magical team. I'm like, wait, because that was a time they were in the Final Four and the girls in the Final Four and a predominantly football school was going hoops crazy. It was going absolutely nuts, man. I mean, they had who was on that team? Sendarius Thorwell, Mike Kotsar, PJ Dozier, and Chris Ruiz, and that was a fun and exciting squad to watch. So my good old
nice garnet jackets for the coach.
Yeah, Frank Martin was looking real clean. He was looking real smooth. that little shade of garnet right there. Be live. What's wrong? Why are your eyes closed? You looking squinty. You ain't back there. You good? You fine?
I'm just trying to make sure I heard this correctly. Did you just call South Carolina a predominantly football school?
We known for our football.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we won nothing in football. Nobody knows you for football. They know you more for baseball than anything.
That's where Sterling Sharp came from. That's where Alshon Jeffrey come from. Oh, Deuce Staley, players. Steve Tannehill, Dondrell Pinkins, Stephen Garcia. We got 9 Mike Davises.
The legendary Stephen Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, we kept the Mike Davis. We had like 9 Mike Davises. Yeah. We probably got one next year.
So, real quick, I just want to throw this in here. Sky D, you mentioned Loyola Marymount that year in 1990. They beat New Mexico State 111-92. They beat Michigan.
111.
Yeah. No, it gets better. This is Wikipedia, so if it's wrong, then it's wrong. But they beat Michigan 149-115. Then they turn around and beat Alabama 62-60. Like,
Alabama took the air out of the ball.
Yeah,
and then they lost to UNLV, as you mentioned. They lost to them 131-101. This is just a different era of basketball. Good night.
Well, but I tell you, it wasn't so much the era as that particular team. If you ever go back and watch any of the clips of that team, their philosophy was shoot it as soon as you get it. I think they only averaged like 6 or 7 seconds on the shot clock. And I might be making that number up, but it was something significantly low where their philosophy was try to get as many shots up and as many possessions as you can get. They had a game earlier that season. They lost, I think, to Oklahoma, and it was something like 140-120, something crazy like that. Where it was just like playground basketball. They just would run and get the ball and shoot. And if the other team scored, they just grab it and go the other way and put it right up. And they had Hank Gathers to gather rebounds. I mean, he was the top rebounder in the country in 1989. So that was how that team played.
I'm going to send you this link. I'm going to send it in the group chat because the scores are ridiculous. Like, they're attested to exactly what you – like, they lost to LSU 148-141. They beat San Francisco 157-115. They beat Gonzaga 144-1. What the? Yeah. So
the country was enamored with them. It was crazy. And I'll tell you, the first time I saw them was the previous year, and they had a they in the first round of the tournament, they played Wyoming, and Wyoming had this guy named Fennis Dembo, who I couldn't wait to watch him play because he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was supposed to be really good. So I'm thinking, I'm gonna watch this Wyoming team, and they're gonna make a run here. And this team I'd never heard of before, Loyola, they're running up and they're just gunning, and this is crazy that they play this style of basketball. But it was by design; they didn't really spend a lot of time practicing defense either because they're giving up triple digits a game in college. I mean, those are high scores for NBA, and these are 40-minute games that those scores that you're citing.
This is the same year that the bad boy Detroit Pistons, and it was all defense in the NBA. Yeah. I vaguely remember that. I mean, just in the archives, I think I was 8 at the time, so, you know, so I really wasn't watching it like that. But just in the archives and the historical standpoint, I can hear that about their run and gun, and the scores absolutely says it all. So, man, yeah, definitely.
Paul Westhead was a coach, and he had been a Lakers coach that Magic Johnson butted heads with in his rookie year, and he got fired in favor of Pat Riley, but he ended up taking this job with Loyola Marymount.
Wow.
Excellent memory there, Scotty D. I appreciate that.
Well, this gives me something to watch while the show is being edited. No, I'm definitely going to check it out. All right, with that being said, Scotty D, what's on tap next week for Choices of the Voices?
All right, this one's a little bit more of a broad make you think, but what part of March Madness do you like the best? The buzzer beaters, the upsets, the Cinderella runs, or watching the powerhouses battle it out? That's what makes it so great, is because all of this stuff you get every year. That's why I think this is the best sporting event going, March Madness. So what do you like the best? And if there's something I didn't list and you say, oh, maybe it's, I like watching the guys lock arms and bite towels on the side. Something, whatever, tradition, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you like best. But these are just some of the things I'm throwing out there. Buzzer beaters, upsets, Cinderella runs, or the powerhouses going at it to decide the championship. That'll give us plenty to talk about next week, Eddie Cool.
All right. And with that being said, it's been another version of the Choices of the Voices. Coming up next, be live. Get the grabbing. Make sure it was good. It's time for a round of pepper. Coming at you right after this on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I'll call the hell up out of here. But before we go, round of pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, entertain, and educate, the four E's in no particular order. And be live, you better tell you know who to watch how we use two of them four E's, all right? I'm joking. All right, so let's go ahead and hop into it. I'll go first. On this day in history, back in 1938, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New York Americans combined to score 8 goals in just under 5 minutes. Toronto wins the game 8-5. And we were just talking about Loyola Marymount running back and forth. Yeah, this is what this is right here. Yeah, 8 goals in 5 minutes. I know them poor goalies is like, is it intermission yet? Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Over to you, Scotty D.
Mike Tyson looks angry. Have you seen the videos? He's working out hard. He's thumping a bag. He's got sweaty t-shirts, and he looks into the camera, and he says, you still want to F with me? He's preparing for the big fight with Jake Paul. Oh, man, come on, Mike, stop it. You're almost 60. I am of the opinion that Tyson's going to come out angry and throw a couple of haymakers, and Paul's going to avoid him, and then Tyson will be exhausted by the middle of round number one, and Paul is going to just sloppily beat a tired, unable to lift his arms Mike Tyson. That's how I think this is going to go. I don't want to see this. I can't help it. I have to watch it, but this is not good. Tyson, come on, man. I mean, I still wouldn't want him to punch me, but I wouldn't mind seeing him punch B-Live. B-Live, over to you.
Damn.
Wow. Oh, all right. No, I know. I got you. Got you. I'm going to use the punching bag. All right. My first pepper point. Oh, God, this is ugly, ugly, ugly. Well, another new innovation will be introduced into college basketball this coming the next season is going to be a new in-season men's college basketball tournament that will offer up to $2 million in NIL deals to the participating team. It's going to be an 8-team tournament dubbed Players Era. It's slated for Thanksgiving weekend, and it's going to be held in Las Vegas. And some of the teams that are in talks to participate, you have Alabama, Duke, Florida Atlantic, Houston, Kansas, Oregon, Rutgers, San Diego State, St. John's, Syracuse, and Virginia. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's an 8-team tournament, but 11 teams have been talked to. Oh boy. And NIL, oh boy. I don't even know how this is actually called NIL. If the players is not, you know what? Eddie cooled the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm over here trying to figure it out. Hey, Scotty, what could go wrong? They're running the Bruno Mars at the casino. All right, moving on to my next topic. I'll give a little local flavor. Shout out to Day-Day Grant from Lorain, Ohio, a 2019 Mr. Basketball winner of Lorain County. Why am I talking about him? It's because he has played a major role in leading the Duquesne Dukes to their first tournament appearance since 1977. Grant went on a run as he scored 27 points versus St. Bonaventure in the A-10 semifinals. And then his Duke squad went on to defeat Virginia Commonwealth University 57-51 to win the A-10 title. And yeah, he is a Lorain, Ohio native. Grant averages 16.7 points a game, 3.4 rebounds per game, 2.5 assists, and shooting 38% from the field goal, 38% field goals. I'll tell you what, it's always good to see a local guy get some shine. Day-Day Grant is a good guy, and I'm trying to see him in the league. I don't care where it's at, but I'm trying to see him in the league. So shout out to Day-Day Grant and the Duquesne Dukes. Over to you, Scotty D.
All right, so I'm looking at something that I had not planned on talking about. It just popped up on my screen. But the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have agreed to terms on a restructure that will clear cap space for 2024. The bad news is it sounds like they're still going to work on a deal for next year. I was hoping this would be like, okay, this is going to be the end. But this is going to clear only of like $5 million off the I don't know. Be live talk about something else.
I'll give Jerry Jones credit. He'll ride with a quarterback. I don't care. Good, bad, or indifferent. He will stick with a quarterback. Go ahead, B-Live.
And coach.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. We need to call up Joel Turner and see what he can tell us about this restructuring and whatnot.
Jerry Jones, you had one opportunity. Oh, it's got a D's ramp. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, money and college sports reign supreme once again. Because all 9 FBS conferences and Notre Dame have agreed to the next college football playoff contract. One of the biggest portions of this contract is that the Big Ten and the SEC get stronger and make more money as opposed to the other conferences. And we haven't even gotten into the 12-team playoff format yet. And they're already talking about making it 14 teams. I tried to tell y'all this before, and nobody wanted to listen to me. It's going to get ugly, crazy. College football is not going to be the same. It's 14 teams now? For what? Why are we even
playing? It's already not the same. It's already a goofy mess.
It's a hot mess. I don't like it. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that Northern Iowa and Liberty matchup in the playoffs. anyways, Scotty D, I got one you're going to love. So hold on to your socks and your drawers, all right? So
I'm listening, buddy.
This involves your favorite spring football league, the United Football League. All right, and it gets good.
Ugh.
There it is, right now. There it is. Let's get it. All right, so DC Defenders star running back Abram Smith sustained a season-ending ACL tear during training camp, and injuries always suck. So they're looking at all possible, you know, possibilities from guys that's on practice squads in the NFL to guys that's on borderline not making a roster on the NFL. And then, according to Mitchell Smith of UFL Nation, he said two names who provide hell frozen over possibilities are future Hall of Fame running back Adrian Peterson and former All-Pro Le'Veon Bell. Quote, even at this stage of their careers, both veterans have expressed interest recently in resuming their careers. The issue, however, is that Bell and Peterson are looking for one last hurrah in the NFL. Whether that opportunity arises for them remains to be seen. Yeah, and then another veteran with a name value who is currently unemployed is Melvin Gordon. No matter how fun it is imagining AP in a defender's uniform would be, and it certainly would bring added attention and eyeball to the UFL, it is very unlikely that any accomplished players in the twilight of their careers take a radical turn into the land of spring football. Scotty D, you might get a chance to see Adrian Peterson.
Said no.
No, man. Come on, guys. Come on.
Over to you, Scotty D.
Come on, guys. It's over. It's just over. It's over. Ugh. I hate stories like that. I hate that when the greats trying to hold on, like T.O. in a league where B-Live's calling the plays. Stuff like it's just the worst. All right, so last week I warned you, Scotty Scheffler's coming on. He won his first golf tournament in 11 months, and now today he gets me to say he won yesterday again, 2 weeks in a row. This is the first time that anyone's won the Players' Championship back-to-back. And Scheffler is hot as a pistol heading into Masters season. He just ran right past Wyndham Clark and Xander Schauffele on Sunday. A big field, a good field that didn't need live players. And that is actually kind of something that's on the docket today. Some of the PGA Tour members who are on that PGA Tour board, I think Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth are on that committee. They're going to be meeting with Saudi's Public Investment Fund, I believe today, Monday. I mean, you might be listening to this to Tuesday, so it may have already happened, but there might be just it's considered to be an ice-breaking meeting with the governor of the board, Yasir Al-Rumayyan, and I think they're just going to try to see what can be done to fix this rift between LIV and PGA. I don't see that there being a merger, but something possibly could be done, and I'm anxious to find out where this is going to go. This is something that initially got talked about last June, and we have not seen any progress. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Masters on its way. Be Live, take us out of here.
Oh, my third and final pepper point. This is going to be a good one. I want to talk about the NBA's Washington Wizards. They are sitting at a record of 11-57. They are currently the worst team in the NBA, 42.5 games behind the leading Boston Celtics. You wonder why, be like, why you want to talk about the Washington Wizards? Well, I'll tell you why. When they are on the road, their record is 7 wins with 30 losses.
Ugh.
But the part I want to feature is what they do at home, which is an abysmal 4 wins and 27 losses. And so I want to make this pepper point because you know who has more wins in Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. than the Washington Wizards?
Who?
The North Carolina State Wolfpack.
I saw this.
The Wolfpack, 5 wins in 5 days, have more wins in Washington, D.C. than the Washington Wizards have played 31 games.
That's a damn shame.
That is. Wow. Mm-mm. Hats off to NC State, Washington Wizards. do better. I don't know what to tell you. It is very, very sad up in Washington, D.C. Joey Buckets, I don't know if you're a Wizards fan, but it's tough up there. It is tough up there in the DMV. And you know what? I'm out of here. We got to go.
You done ran poor Scotty D off. He said he can't take it no more. He can't take it no more. I think the one about the UFL really kind of put him over the limit. Yeah, you need to make sure about
that. That'll do it. Hatred piece. I was like, oh no, he did.
Yeah, I just saw his head drop. And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They're greatly appreciated now, more than ever. Whatever you do, try your best to be a blessing and not a burden, because there's enough mess going on in this world. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. 5 years and running. Thank you for all your support. Be Live, take us home.
Yes, sir. March 30th, the debut of the UFL, the Birmingham Stallions versus the Arlington Renegades. USFL champs versus the XFL champs. Yes, sir.
That should be a good matchup. See you next week right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Don't tell Scotty D that, because, you know, he'll watch. You know,
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening, and as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.